day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Overseas Connection. I am your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and this is episode 95, and it's December 21st, 2010. Of course, we are the official podcast of the Gate, that is G4TE.com community. And joining me this week, two of the very finest members of that very same community. Mr. CPM Matthew, you are first on the list.
Wait, so who else is here? Because there's only three of us, and you said two finest.
This is true.
Anyway. All right. So hello and welcome, everyone. Chris Matthew, CP Matthew on Xbox Live. Whoops, got that backwards. CP Matthew on PlayStation Network, CPM1376 on Xbox Live, and I am fed up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they lost to the Cowardly Lions. Okay.
Well said, well said, and I don't blame you. Losing Mark to McGuire. The Lions. Yes, Mark McGuire and the Lions. That's like a badge of shame. And, of course, just now piping in, that is also our beloved Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yo, Skullduggar here. Did you say 95? Episode 95?
Correct.
Are you sure about that?
I am positive it is episode 95.
Just for a check.
You sure you're not back to 90? We're not back to 91.
No. In fact, we could have gone all the way back in time to episode 1 if we really, really wanted to, but I thought it better to just continue right along.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my gamer tag is Skullduggar, as everybody hopefully knows by now. 1L.
2 G's.
It was full tonight, but then I got a friend's request off Marty Greasy Fish Lips, which I've obliged him by deleting somebody. So sorry, whoever that somebody was.
And, I didn't appreciate that, by the way.
Yeah, I was wondering why I had one less person on my friends list.
Russian roulette, Vietnam style. Mao, Mao. Yeah, I'm Greg DeLacy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, if you're new to the show, it's all about video games and random things. That's basically it. Video games and random things. So that all said, we'd like to talk about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
Indeed, what have we been playing? So, Chris, why don't we have you start off first? I think you probably have the largest list of actual things to talk about.
Well, we'll see about that. So I finished up, I completed one iteration of Fallout New Vegas. So in playing the game, I learned that there are four possible endings. I ended up unlocking one of them. So essentially, you can support yourself. You can support Mr. New Vegas, or you can support one of the two warring factions who want to take over Vegas. I chose to support myself, so I guess I'll go back and later and try it with one of the other endings. I also have started playing it on hardcore mode, which does change the game quite a bit, more than I thought it would.
For the good or for the bad?
It has pluses and minuses. It changes it in a good way in that it adds a new challenge to the game that wasn't there playing in regular mode. So in regular mode, you just run around, and if you got shot up, it's not really anything to worry about. You just go find a bed and sleep for an hour, and all of your wounds are healed.
If only real life was that way.
Yeah, exactly. So in hardcore mode, that's not so. The only way to fix your wounds is with healing items or to go see a doctor and pay caps to get your wounds healed. So you have to plan for that. And then rather than only have to worry about health and radiation level, you have to worry about also your dehydration levels. You have to drink water.
Okay.
You have to eat food regularly. So you can't just use stim packs to heal your wounds. You have to eat food, or you'll die of starvation. And also you have to sleep regularly or you will die of exhaustion. So, you have to be much more deliberate in your in your approach to things. You know, you can't just kind of continually go one place to the next place to the next place. You kind of have to go out, do something, go back to your home base, recoup everything. Because the ammunition now also has weight. So in Fallout 3 and in regular mode of Fallout New Vegas, the ammunition had no weight. So you could carry as much ammo as you wanted. Even if you were carrying rockets for your missile launcher, you could carry 500 of them and it didn't matter. Well, now all the ammunition has weight. So you have to plan accordingly and pack, you know, enough ammunition to get the job done, but not too much. So it adds a new level of challenge, which is nice. The drawback is it does slow things down quite a bit.
So that's
the only drawback.
Do you think those benefits, the benefits of the hardcore mode though, outweigh the drawback, if you will?
That's just going to be, I think, a personal choice. You know, some people just want to shoot things up, and so they're not going to have the patience to want to slow it down like that.
Right.
Me, I don't mind a challenge, so it's made the game a little bit more interesting for the second playthrough. So yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe there is another game that you've also finished.
I did. I finished up the story mode of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, so I've got to go back still. Well, I say got to. I have yet, if I choose to go back and collect all the collectibles and all that.
So was it everything you had hoped it would be and more?
You know, it really made me angry.
Okay.
The ending itself kind of leaves you hanging, similar to how the end of Assassin's Creed 2 left you hanging. But I don't want to give away too many spoilers. Let's just say there was a favorite character of mine who will not be around for Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay.
Which made me
unless
angry.
They go back in time before that character died, in which case they could bring that character back to life by changing the history timeline.
Well, see, that's the thing though, right? If you follow the Assassin's Creed storyline, they're not actually going back in time. They're just through genetic memory reliving the memories of Desmond's ancestors. So you can't actually change anything.
See, and this is where I never really got that involved in the Assassin's Creed story, so I'm a complete noob when it comes to that. Let me ask you this question, and this is, again, coming from that complete noob perspective. Based on what you just said, what's the point of reliving everybody's memories?
There are items out in the world. They're called the Pieces of Eden, and they possess great power, and they have been hidden away. And so by reliving the memories, they can find
where they are
hidden.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
That is why.
Let me ask you this, and this isn't really so much about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but really kind of looking forward to Assassin's Creed 3 and beyond. Do you think they could get away with making a modern-day Assassin's Creed? Or do you think they're, based on kind of the way combat works, they're always going to be kind of stuck utilizing pre-modern era timelines?
I think they could get away with moving it forward. They would have to change things a bit, maybe adopt sort of a Splinter Cell conviction kind of, you know, more 50-50 to hand-to-hand and range combat as opposed to mostly hand-to-hand with a little bit of ranged.
Right.
I think it could work. It would be a bit of a departure from what the series has been up to now. But in this one, in Brotherhood, you do a little bit more ranged than in previous iterations also. So, they added the crossbow. So you have the gun and the crossbow now, so you can do some ranged combat. And you still have your throwing knives, of course. So, yeah, they could do it. It'd be interesting to see how they did it. I think they could make lots and lots of sequels if they wanted to.
Okay. Well, moving on from there, I believe there's one other game that's on your list that was kind of got a lot of props from a lot of different sites.
Yeah, I picked up Enslaved Odyssey to the West today for my PlayStation PS Triple.
Now,
which
question,
is very odd for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you do most of your gaming on the 360, specifically because you are an achievement whore.
I used to be.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah, I don't have time to be anymore.
Is that maybe why you gave the PS3 the nod on this version, or was it you found it in the used bin for a cheap price and picked it?
Well, I found it in the new bin for a relatively low price.
Okay.
And I actually looked for it on the Xbox 360 in the store that I was in, but the particular Best Buy store that I was in only had it on the PlayStation 3.
Got it.
So. Is the DLC coming out on the PS3? That's free.
I don't know.
There's a Pigsy DLC coming out.
I may have made a mistake.
Surely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about it. I haven't heard anything about DLC.
I mean, I'm sure the DLC will come out for it. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Eventually.
Have you had much time with it yet?
I finished the first two levels. So far, I'm liking it. The combat is good. I like the way it flows. The platforming bits to me are better than the combat bits. The only real gripe so far is the camera. I would describe it as very choppy. Yeah. I almost feel like the camera is tethered to, what's his name, Monkey. So as he's running, it's bouncing up and down a lot, and that's kind of giving me a headache.
Okay.
There's not one person I don't know, even though a lot of people have liked giving it really good props for the way it looks, that is the one gripe that everybody's got, is the way that the camera works.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit rough in the combat as well.
I haven't noticed it as much in the combat, and that's because I tend to be a little more stationary. So yeah. when I'm fighting, I do a lot of blocking and countering, and again, it's very early on, but yeah. So I don't notice as much in the combat, but definitely when I'm running and jumping and kicking and doing the Taibo, it's got some jitters.
All right. Well,
I think that's my list. Yeah, that's my list.
Yeah, sounds like a busy week.
I had the week off work, if you couldn't tell.
That helps. That helps. Mr. Skulldugger, why don't we talk about what you've played? And first of all, let's just cover what you did not play this past weekend, specifically Saturday night at around 10:30 my time.
Yeah, sorry. I went out to on Saturday evening in UK, because we do the racing on the Sunday morning, as opposed to our American friends. I went out to a Greek restaurant and got very drunk. Went and watched a cover band and slept in the following morning. So I didn't take part in the Forza Championship. But I'm sure Greg will be telling you all about that in a moment.
I will indeed, I will indeed. But let's move on. What have you actually played?
I've been playing nothing up until tonight, but Call of Duty Black Ops. Specifically, with most of the gate community, Hardcore Headquarters.
Yeah. I really like the Headquarters mode.
I love it.
It's becoming my favorite mode to play. It requires so much teamwork to be good at it.
History of Hardcore Headquarters. It was always the mode for chugging out the most points, for getting yourself ranked up quick, since COD 4. And very late in COD 4's life, they introduced the hardcore version of it. Infinity Ward, in their wisdom, and then took them a lot of tweaking to do it, introduced it as a ricochet mode, where if you did tag one of your teammates by accident or deliberately, you would drop to the floor dead.
Oh.
Unfortunately, they've not carried this on when Treyarch has introduced it, and I know that it did take a while for them to put the Hardcore Headquarters in, so whether they're having the same difficulties that Infinity Ward had, getting it refined and sorted, but they won't give us the ricochet mode. So,
well,
what you've got...
Let's just debate that real quick. I get the kind of the novelty and the cool factor of the ricochet mode, because certainly you're not going to get killed by your own teammate. Instead, your own teammate's going to get killed because they potentially, deliberately shot at you or mistakenly shot at you. But to me, in hardcore, that's the big piece of it. It's, you are vulnerable. You do have to mind, yourself, and you can't just walk in front of somebody else's gunfire. As well as a teammate, I have to be mindful of you in front of me, and I can't just go throwing a grenade at your feet because there's an enemy next to you. So, I mean, I get the allure of Ricochet because certainly you're not going to get as many, you know, killed by teammates. But I think if you're really talking about a hardcore mode, Ricochet doesn't really fall into the category of being hardcore. It falls into...
I can't agree with it.
Oh, yeah, well, okay.
Because the way... It's a team game, right?
Right.
And I understand the fact that that they've got to give you some sort of punishment within that team game. But to get one of your team players booted right in the middle of a game, and the only way they can get back in is hopefully jump back in. Well, you can't do that now because you've patched it.
Now,
so you can't come back in.
Question, and I don't know this, but I mean, in hardcore mode, I don't think it automatically boots you for killing a teammate.
Three times, and you're out.
Three times. Okay. In one match, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you've got to remember as well, you've got things like accidental claymores going off. There is a lot of instances where you can get the rough end of the stick.
Right.
You know, as well, you've got Nova Gas as well, which...
But, do you know, and this would be a great question to ask, I guess, Treyarch, but do we know if those kills count against you or if it's just gunfire that counts against you?
No, if you do an accidental claymore, you can get booted for that. I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's a bit harsh, especially with it being a team mode.
See, I would think that maybe they could do a tweak to where they could just turn off like claymores as far as counting against you, as well as like Nova Gas, because those are things that are definitely out of your control. But, you know, in terms of gunshots, that's something you're specifically directing. So.
And another thing as well is spawning again. And I hate being the one to bleat about spawning because I know that everybody does it and they're all moaning about it, but it does come across as being quite bad on this one. And I've noticed in a lot of the CTF is really bad. Hardcore headquarters is terrible. And even team deathmatch, which should be the most relatively easy one to do, is not. So, yeah. Anyway, off the blops. Just briefly dipped into Vietnam Battlefield, but Greg can talk more about that because he's been on it longer than me.
Yeah, well, Battlefield Vietnam, I really like it. I mean, you know, it's a $15 map pack, so I know a lot of people have some quivers about that. It is five maps. They've introduced new guns. You know, it's got a bunch of new music to go with it. I think that, I mean, if you want to look at it just from a, you know, strictly counting everything and looking at everything that you're getting, it's kind of on par of what Call of Duty did before, in terms of their map pack releases. The one thing I wish they would have done, and it would have kind of been nice, would have been just to incorporate into the regular Battlefield Bad Company 2 online mode for multiplayer, because it's actually a separate mode. And so when you go in to play multiplayer in Battlefield Bad Company 2, you actually have to select Vietnam to play in the Vietnam era. I thought it would have been kind of cool if you could have just put it into one area where you could cycle through all the different maps, playing a bunch of different, you know, multiplayer types, whether it be modern era or maybe going back and forth between Vietnam and the modern era. But maybe that was something that only I would like.
Does the new map pack Vietnam have a new single player campaign with it?
No. Does
see,
not.
I for some reason I thought it was going to, and that had sort of tempted me to buy it, but without that I'm not sure if I want to.
Yeah, I had thought it was going to have some kind of single player element, and there's no single player element for sure. I don't know if there is an Onslaught option, or maybe that's going to come in the way of maybe a free DLC to add in Onslaught. But yeah, it is strictly multiplayer. And in that regard, it almost is a little bit better because I think they would have had a really difficult time tying in Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam, a single player storyline, into what they did with the main one.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, they probably could have weaved a story, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was just easier for them not to do it. But, I mean, the maps are all really good. I mean, it's such a different feeling environment to what you get with the regular Battlefield Bad Company 2 maps. There's about the only thing I could equate it out to in terms of the way it feels, and I'm trying to remember the name of the map in Battlefield Bad Company 2. You play, basically it's usually a conquest mode, and you start off, you know, one side of the, you're starting off kind of in this, a jungle like hill area. There's a Huey, not a Huey, there's a Blackbird helicopter there that you can load
Blackbird.
Up. Sorry, Blackbird. Did I say Blackbird? Blackhawk. Yes. And, you can load up at the top of the hill and then basically, you know, take the gunship around the bend in the map. I think there's a lighthouse down the road on the map as well, but it's kind of a jungly environment.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You get a lot of that kind of environment in the maps on Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam, and, it makes, like, firefights are pretty crazy because one, vegetation gets, has the deformation now. So vegetation gets cut down with firefights. So as you're shooting through bamboo trees, you'll see them splinter and fall down. And,
you couldn't shoot the trees down?
You could shoot certain trees down, right?
Yeah.
But not all the vegetation really was destructible. Whereas here it feels like anything that stands taller than like 3 feet off the floor is something that you can take out. So, but it just all, it makes for a very, just a kind of a, I won't say realistic because I mean, at the end of the day, it is a video game, but I mean, you get that tense feeling of fighting in the jungle, and there's so many times where I've been looking right at somebody thinking there was nobody there, and sure enough, a bad guy is coming right up on me type thing because he's just blending right into the jungle.
It's brilliant to be able to tag people again as well. Because I've been on Black Ops so long.
Yeah.
You know, to spot them out.
Yep. Spotting is definitely key. And, one of the maps that's really cool is Hill 137, I believe it is. And it basically, it's an uphill fight up this hill. And a lot of the entire hill has just been torched with napalm. So everything is kind of on fire and smoldering and ashes. And yet there's a bunch of tunnels built into the hill that you can go into and take shortcuts and kind of scoot your way around here and there.
But the way that level rolls out as well is awesome, because you start out and it's like a rocky hillside with a brilliant like waterfall backdrop.
Yeah.
And then you just gradually move through the map and the terrain just changes.
Yep.
And it does look awesome.
Yeah. And, so.
And you get the tunnel systems in that.
Yeah. And all the game modes are intact. So, I mean, you've got Conquest, Rush, I think Team Conquest, or is it Team Rush? I forgot which it is. And then there's, or Squad Rush. And then, Squad Deathmatch. But for me, for whatever reason, the Battlefield Bad Company 2 series, Deathmatch doesn't feel right. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the maps are so big and you've got vehicles involved, but deathmatch, you know, games always just felt kind of disjointed for the way the maps were set up. And it always felt like if you're playing, you know, a Battlefield game, it has to be either Conquest or Rush.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I played enough squad deathmatch on BFBC2 to get the achievement. And like, I played enough times to win one match and get the achievement. And I was like, yeah, not going to play that anymore.
Yeah.
Back in my achievement whoring days.
But anyway, so I mean, if you are at all inclined to pick up the map, you know, and $15 isn't going to be too much on your pocketbook, then it is well worth it, in my opinion. You know, I don't know, Rich, if you would agree, but you know, I think.
Yeah, I've not played enough of it yet, but I'd say what I've played up to yet. The only reservation I've got as well is, I want to know if you get any sort of sights with it.
Yeah, that was the other thing that was curiously missing. All of the guns are limited on Battlefield Bad Company Vietnam to, gosh, I want to say there's maybe 15 different guns, you know, all in all. And it might be a little bit more than that, but I mean, it's quite a bit fewer guns, and they don't have all the attachments. So, you know, you get your M16, you have a stock sight. You don't have a scope or a red dot scope. You know, they're sticking you in Vietnam, in the era of Vietnam, and so they're giving you what those guys had in that time. And so, you know, there are sniper rifles with scopes, but, you know, they're not, you know, infrared, heat-seeking, anything like that. It's all pretty standard bill of fare. The one thing I will say, the one weapon they have added in that is just awesome is the flamethrower. And it is the best flamethrower I've ever played with. Not that I play with a lot of flamethrowers, but in terms of in a game, it's fantastic.
I think you spend plenty of time playing with your flamethrower, Greg DeLacy.
That's a different podcast. But yeah, so no scopes that I know of, Rich. I don't believe there's anything like that. They do have the perks in terms of like making your explosives be a little, you know, a little more explosive, or, you know, being able to carry just a little bit more ammunition, that kind of thing. And then all the vehicle perks that they did before. But in terms of the weapon upgrades, they're just not there. So far I'm okay with it. I don't have any real gripe about it because everybody's having to deal with the same thing. So you're not feeling like you're getting cheated out of something. But
well, let me ask this question. Since you're using the iron sights, how do they stack up? Are they worthwhile, or are they like Call of Duty 4 iron sights that are really hard to see through?
M60's a bitch.
M16 is a bitch, yeah. It's not...
60. M60's a bitch.
Yeah. The 16 isn't terribly easy either.
Does the M60 jam up all the time like it does in real life?
Not to our knowledge.
Okay. I think it's terrible.
You know, the other interesting thing that I noticed, and I don't know if it was just a weird situation or what, but on the engineer class... You didn't have the fixed drill. You had a blowtorch. And I went up to a tank and thought I was going to repair the tank, and I ended up destroying the tank. And so I don't know if it's an offensive weapon or if it was one of those things where it was previously being used by an enemy and I just came upon it and put the final touches to the tank. Which
the medic's got a syringe as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, the medics have a syringe instead of paddles.
Yeah.
So, little subtle differences here and there, and of course all the different character skins are pretty interesting. The Vietnamese character skins are pretty true to what, at least what I've seen in terms of the History Channel stuff.
Do you feel sorry for that poor guy that's got the bandage around his head?
Yeah, there's one guy has a bandage around his head over his eye, and you know, you're just like, okay. But like one of the U.S. Marines has, you know, like the thick rimmed glasses with the, you know, the horn rimmed glasses that are like held together with tape. And I mean, it's just all the kind of stereotypical stuff you saw from some of the Vietnam movies and stuff are pretty much.
And they've got the Robbie Williams sound alike on the radio.
Yep.
When you're at base.
Yeah.
Good morning, America. They just change it enough so that it's not breaching copyright.
But yeah, so again, I would recommend it, but it, you know, if you're not into Battlefield Bad Company 2, then certainly don't pick it up, because you know, if you're not going to play it, you're not going to play it. Anyway, Skull, are you done on your end? Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add is, you know, because we've had all of these bits and bobs added to this whole package, which is a great game, that's Battlefield Bad Company 2. All I'd like to say, when they actually release the next one, we all know about the maps. We all know that we want more maps, and they should have them from the off, and they should get the DLC out quicker. But one thing I would take away from it, if I was EA and DICE, I'd say get the Onslaught mode in the next game from the off.
Yeah.
Because most games nowadays do need this co-op element, the multiplayer element, and the single player. And I'm not saying that for all single player games, that's a whole different debate, but this is a multiplayer game, and it's, you know, the key of this franchise is pulling people in for the multiplayer. So what I'd say is, from the start, they need to get that Onslaught mode, because that was a great little find, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that playing it with all.
I picked it up when it went on sale. So I have it, and I tested it out for the first time today, just a quick little test. So, yeah, it definitely is fun. But it's one of those modes, like you said, it should have been there from the get-go. Real quickly for me, I'll cover over some of the lesser things. So, you know, did some more Call of Duty Black Ops, Your Shape Fitness, you know, Kinect Sports, Apache Air Assault, as Skull reported last week. It's not that good. I played a little bit of that, and yeah, I got it from Gamefly, so I felt obligated to at least put it in the disc tray, and, it is what it is. It's a half-ass attempt at a, you know, a helicopter simulation, game. Doritos Crash Course. I, made Skull's children cry. took up the challenge from, his son, and then I believe your daughter joined in as well, and she was really angry at me. But, in fact, his son disconnected the game on me because he was so mad at me, so.
He disconnected it tonight as well, for Battlefield. Did you notice that? I was talking to you and he just cut off. But the funny thing is, he now thinks that, Greg DeLacy lives in the Xbox, and whenever he turns it on, he can ask you for a game of whatever.
You know,
and you'll come
funny.
And play with him.
I think my wife shares the same sentiment. She was telling me just the other day, I swear, is that thing, like, on all the time? So Doritos Crash Course, having more fun with that. And then the big game of the weekend was Forza 3, the Mazda MX-5 championship races. My teammate, sadly, drunken in a disorderly fashion, slept through.
It would be irresponsible for me to drive.
Well, see, Parsnip showed up and was put on my team to replace you. And while he also came in last, there's a big debate on whether or not he did a better job of replacing you or not.
Sounds realistic. It's slapped off the light AI driver for school.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I mean, I came in second and I came in first in the races. And the first race, I could have won the race easily had I been able to take the last turn at Mugello with any degree of consistency. I think it's like the fifth turn as you go onto the straightaway towards the pit area. And for whatever reason, I just kept overshooting that turn every time. And I did it so many times that finally, you know, Betty Bear was able to catch me and pass me. And then I just couldn't catch up to him. I mean, every time I would get close to him, that stupid turn would come up again, and I would go off the course and allow him to speed away. So it was my downfall for sure. But in the second race, I shot out from the get-go and took the lead, and Betty Bear was on my six for a little while. He started to fade a little bit, but he was hanging in there pretty good, and then I switched off his Xbox, and he disconnected, so at least that's what he thinks. After that, it was pretty much smooth sailing for me. I had a big enough lead that nobody was going to be able to catch me as long as I stayed on the course, which, amazingly, I did that race. So we got a second and a first place finish for Team OC, and a DNF on both races because Parsnip actually didn't finish the second race. So, yeah, it was pretty good representation of you, Rich.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's it. That's it for what we've been playing. And as many of you probably already had noticed, because we didn't introduce them, both Rich and Mr. Mike Chin absent from the show today. Rich is hopefully, crossing our fingers, going to maybe come back. And that's Big Bad Daddy Rich, not, of course, you, Skulldugger. He's going to maybe come back for next week's show. And Mr. Mike Chin said he just had better things to do. Or was it he had work things to do? Something like that. But he should be back for next week, absolutely. So, yeah, that's a lot of what we've been playing. So I think really at this point we should be talking about the news, because that's really what we should do.
And this is the news of the week.
Okay, so news. We only have a couple news items, so we're going to go through those real quickly, and then we're going to talk up Game of the Year nominations. So, stay tuned for that. Let's dive into it. Chris, real quick, you were on the PS3 for the first time in God knows how long. There's some news coming out on the old PS3 for PlayStation Plus owners, I believe.
The news coming out on the PS3 for PlayStation Plus owners is that you can indeed be on my friends list, CP Matthew, because I was on my PS3 today. What was funny is I was on the PS3. This is an aside. I had zero friends on the PS3, which never happens to me on the Xbox, right? Because Xbox Live, well, let's be honest. Gaming for the elderly is more of an Xbox community.
Sure.
So there's more of us on the Xbox. So anyway, I had zero friends on, so I thought, you know what? Let's have a look through the old friends list. And there were three or four who had been on in the last couple days, but the vast majority of them, the last time they were on the Xbox was 30 days ago or longer. So I was like, wow. I guess what came out 30 days ago on the PS3? Anything?
30 days?
Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you what came out 30 days ago. Not quite 30 days ago, but that would be the old GT5. I'm sure everybody jumped on, checked it out, and then checked
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Yeah. This is probably true. So anyway, big news. If you are a fan of your PlayStation 3 and you are looking for a, you might even call it a large or a big or a huge or a massive shooter. You can get a full game trial of MAG to play, the whole game all the way up to rank 8, and then enjoy it. And then if you want to go after that, you have to pay 30 bones to continue playing. So not too shabby coming in only a year late with the demo. Feel free to have it out.
Yeah.
Big news.
It is big news. I mean, you know, it justifies
massive,
a little bit.
Massive.
Just a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to specify that. Yeah, only if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber.
True.
So if you need to feel good about having paid for the PlayStation Network, here's another way to waste your money. Or not waste your money because you already spent it.
All right, next piece of news. Hydrophobia. Game, you know, PSN, Xbox Live game. I believe actually it's Xbox Live only. I take that back. Not on the PSN. But came out, was $15, full of bugs. A lot of people said it was a game that could have been really good, but it just didn't quite live up to the hype. Well, apparently the developer took note, and they've gone back, and they've done a huge overhaul to the game. And they're calling it, basically, it's overhauled in the Pure patch, which if you own the game, you're going to get the patch automatically. And if you're new to the game, you know, they've patched it with all kinds of tweaks and fixes, which I'm not going to go into in depth. But basically, it's really making the game, you know, act and be the way it should have been. And they're also dropping the price to $10. So they're pricing it out where I thought the game should have been price pointed to begin with, at $10. And fixing it. A tremendous, you know, I applaud them for that because you don't see that too often. Okay, so one other piece of news I wanted to get in, and it's totally unrelated to Hydrophobia. It is that Section 8 is going to be being released to the Xbox Live Arcade. So that the next Section 8 game, the sequel, is going to be an Xbox Live Arcade only game. It's going to have a single player campaign of about 6 hours. It's going to have all the multiplayer aspects that they did before, just refined and improved, supposedly. But it's only going to be $15.
Is it going to be Section 9?
It might be. You never know. But
is it endorsed by Duke Scuff? Has he got his thumbs up on the front cover?
I don't know if it's endorsed by Duke Scott or not, but I imagine both he and BBD would have a quote either on the front or on the back of the package saying, big thumbs up.
Along with Bongo the Sane.
Yes, along with Bongo the Sane, as well as myself. I mean, I had high hopes for that original game. It fell short, but I was kind of excited when I heard the news that they were going to release this out for $15. I think it's a better game than Blacklight Tango Down, so I paid $15 for that, so why would I not try this? Anyway, now that I've rambled on about something completely unrelated, let's move on to the next piece of news, Skull.
Yes! Chris's favorite game, the Call of Duty Black Ops, is...
Why are you going to be making fun of me?
You was going to buy it.
You were so close.
You're so close to buying it.
Did you actually have your hand on the box?
No, I was just looking at it. And I was thinking, man...
You're looking at it, but not touching it, because you knew if you grabbed the box, you were going to have to buy it.
I was just kind of looking at it, and I was like, everybody else is playing it. You know, maybe I should get it. And no.
Talk about everybody else buying it. This is another sidetrack. Quanrian from the Veteran Gamers, who you would never, ever, ever, ever dream of playing anything like Call of Duty, has got his hands on a copy of Blops. So, yeah. Expect to do a lot of multiplayer with him and not talking much tactics because he just rambles on about games all the time when he plays online. That's it. Just talk about games until, you know, till you drop over, keel over. Yeah. Anyway, news. First Strike map pack is coming out on February the 1st for Black Ops. It's been announced by Major Nelson. I seem to remember back in the hazy days when I was writing into your show, Greg, that I had a right good rant about the Modern Warfare 2 map packs and how I didn't think they were much value for money. Now, I think I'll purchase these because what they're giving you is four original new maps, which are Discovery, which is based on the Reznov mission. So that's at the Antarctic Research Station. You've got Kowloon, which is obviously set in Kowloon, and that's a rooftop mission, which sounds quite interesting. Berlin Wall, this is based at Checkpoint Charlie, and this one sounds as if it's going to be something like a manic shipment type map. Stadium, which is set in a American hockey rink. And also, they're giving you a additional zombie map, which is Ascension. And that's all going to be for 1,200 points. So, in comparison to the last lot of maps, which were rehashes plus a couple of maps, then I think you're getting value out of this. So, yeah. 1,200 points. February the 1st.
Good deal. Yeah, I think that's... It seems like that's pretty good value. I don't know. Call me crazy, but five maps.
You're crazy.
Granted, four multiplayer, one a zombie. That works for me. I'm okay with that. All right. Speaking of maps and DLC, well, maybe not so much maps, but DLC. Chris, more goodness.
More goodness. You wouldn't be talking about the Dead Money DLC for Fallout New Vegas, would you?
I might indeed.
See, I like how you at least handed me a game that I care about. So out today, which I have just purchased but not yet had a chance to play, is the Dead Money downloadable content for Fallout New Vegas. Apparently, it begins with you and a group of others being captured by some hooligans, and you must escape. And in the process of escaping, you have the opportunity to retrieve a legendary treasure, which is probably a pile of soda bottle caps because that's what they that's what they do, right?
Legendary, so, indeed.
Legendary pile of soda bottle caps. So pick it up. Have fun with it. I'll try it out later on tonight. Talk to you about it next week. And for all you PC nerds and PlayStation Japan fanboys, fear not. You will eventually get the DLC for yourself as well. But for now, it is exclusive to the Xbox 360 Green Team.
I like that. Xbox 360 Green Team. Wow. Listen to you. All right. Last bit of news, and this is more kind of on the rumor side, but Kinect, they've been talking about the fact that Microsoft is reportedly working on a firmware update to the Kinect camera that, in a sense, is going to basically quadruple the performance of the camera. Right now, the camera runs at a 320x240 image resolution. And basically, they've kind of scaled it down because they needed the Kinect to basically work through the USB ports, and there was fear that because there's multiple USB ports on the older models and they didn't have a dedicated port like they do on the newer model, that there basically was going to be a slowdown of the transfer of data. So they're working on a workaround to allow the Kinect sensor to transfer up to, I think it's 35 megabits of data, on the stream, and instead of the 15, which it is now, and that in a sense would be able to allow them to up it to 640x480 in terms of the resolution, and basically be able to track finger gestures, the whole nine yards, and it's all because the camera basically is a firm-based solution, or a firm-based piece of hardware. So firmware will update accordingly.
Double your pixelage.
Yes, double your pixelage. yeah, so it's good news. I'm excited for that because I think that definitely will help things out with Kinect and hopefully get some of the people that are sitting on the fence, namely everybody else but me on this podcast, and maybe make it to a point that you guys are more interested because it is more of a refined experience.
So when they up-res, when they up-res the camera,
right,
and I switch that on, will that up-res the size of my room so it's twice as big?
Yes, it will actually up-res your entire room and make you smaller in the same motion. It's incredible technology.
That's marvelous.
Yes.
I'm in. Get me one.
I also
Honey, I shrunk the rich.
I also almost bought a Kinect today, but I did not.
Chris, you are just out there today. I mean, I am a bit shocked, a bit taken aback.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was looking at it and I was thinking, you know what? I just can't see myself actually using it, so I didn't buy it.
Yeah. I too can say I couldn't see you using it as of right now just because, you know, I don't think there's anything out there that really would appeal to you, with the exception of maybe Kinect Bowling. I think you would like Kinect Bowling.
Kinect Bowling?
Yes.
Yeah, bowling's right up my alley.
Hey, any sport you can drink beer in? Come on.
Crown Green Bowling.
All right, let's move on.
Crown Green Bowling.
All right, so we're going to move on from the news. We're going to take our show break here. We've got music from Iron Star, and it's the Teabag King. It's a little Christmassy. I kind of liked it, so I thought, what the heck, why not? So enjoy that, and when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking up Game of the Year nominees specifically, because we're going to do the announcement for Game of the Year as well as the different categories in next week's show. But this week's show, you're going to listen to us probably getting arguments about what belongs and what doesn't belong in those lists. So that said, we will be back shortly.
Jingle, 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 you will hear my nutsack ring. Any first-person shooter, I am the Teabag King. If you see me coming, you better run and go. Cause when I shoot you down, I'll teabag you like a ho-ho-ho. You must believe that when you see me, I won't pass you by. I'll shoot you in your fucking face and teabag your eyes. Jingle, 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 you will smell my ding-a-ling. My balls always tingle, for I'm the Teabag King. Jingle, 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 you will hear my nutsack ring. Any first-person shooter, I am the Teabag King. If I see you camping, trust me, for I will know. I'll kill you with the quickness and make you smell my asshole. Must leave if you receive intel that I'm coming by. I'll blast you away like a rocket noob, then give you a nutty surprise. Jingle, 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 you will hear my ball sack sing. Why do they look wrinkled? Cause I'm the Teabag King. Come on, kids, let's spread some holiday cheer this Christmas and sing along. Let's go! Jingle, 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 you will hear my nutsack ring. Any first-person shooter, I am the Teabag King. There's no use to run away, I'll chase you as I go. And when you finally hit the dirt, my balls play with your nose. If you're dead on the ground and I just happen to walk by, I'll laugh in your face and with such grace I'll squat down till you cry. Jingle, 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 nothing else fills me with glee. Your face and my balls mingle, for I'm the Teabag King. I'm the Teabag King!
We are back from the break. And, okay, it's time to talk Game of the Year nominees.
Game of the Year.
So, Rich, why don't you do the honors, if you would, and maybe run down the first category, which I believe is the XBLA PSNs?
That's right, yes. So all of our little marketplaces on our various consoles just got in a shedload of titles that people were putting forward. So first off, we had Limbo, very popular with the community, and also...
And I think it's worth noting, just to the listeners, these are not in any particular order. So nope. Don't think because we're listing off one versus another one first or second that it means that any of these are, you know, getting more votes than the other. It's just these are all games that have been brought up and mentioned by the community and or us as potentials for, you know, favorite XBLA, PSN, blah, blah, blah. So, sorry, continue on.
Blah, 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 indeed.
Yeah, then we had Plants vs. Zombies, and then our very own Big Bad Daddy put in Crazy Taxi, and after that we had, and very valid of a mention in my opinion, Monday Night Combat.
Yes.
And again, personal favourite of mine, probably the best value I had this year, apart from Defence Grid, which I can't put in, was Death Bank.
Yeah.
And next up after that, we had Lara Croft, the Guardian of Light.
Excellent, excellent game.
And its eventual co-op. And Pinball FX2, that was in there.
Yeah.
Quite a big community game. They've even got forums running on that. And now, here's the anomaly. Tecmo Bowl Throwback.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I'm not going to throw out names, and I don't think it's important that we name people who, you know, put these different games up for, you know, basically nomination as favorite game. But really? Tecmo Bowl?
Name him, shame him.
Tecmo Bowl? Come on. I look at this list, and honestly, I see really four games I think that deserve to be, you know, held in contention for favorite slash, you know, best. And really it should be, I think, best XBO Live PSN game. Maybe somebody took it literally as, you know, their favorite game this year was Tecmo Bowl Throwback. Okay, fine. But is it really the best game out there on the PSN network? No, I would say probably not. Limbo, I mean, just for a real quick debate, and we'll debate these more internally over the course of this upcoming week, but Limbo, Plants vs. Zombie, Monday Night Combat, and I think Lara Croft Guardian of Light are all real worthy contenders. Deathspank, I look at that game and I have mixed feelings about it. It was.
Did you play it?
I did play the demos. I didn't play the full game, so it just to me wasn't as good as the other games on the list. So, you know, I don't hold it in that same high regard. Crazy Taxi, it's Crazy Taxi, and it feels like a game from yesteryear, just polished up nicely. Pinball FX2, I don't think deserves to be on the list either. It's just an upgrade to the previous Pinball FX game. They basically made the game the way it should have been the first time. And it's not a free game like they advertised, and therefore it gets a big black mark on my book. And not to go into any further detail on the other games, but, you know, I think real quickly I could exclude and just mark off a few of those games. They're not going to make the final cut. Anybody else?
Okay, Daddy-O.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
Next one?
Let's move on.
Okay, so the next one after that is the most original game of 2010. So, starting on that then, quite a diverse range. You got Red Dead Redemption, Minecraft, Heavy Rain, Ilo Milo, Enslaved, Alan Wake, and Plants vs. Zombies. So, discuss.
Yeah, so, Chris, why don't you take this one and just kind of go through that list, nitpick a little bit, come up with what you think should be the finals. I mean, again, just because either of us say what we think, you know, might be the finals doesn't mean that will be the case.
Yeah, well, especially my opinion must be taken with a grain of salt, because I've only played two games on this list, and one of them I've only spent about 2 hours on. I do think Red Dead Redemption belongs on the list. It's hard to pin down what it is that's original about Red Dead Redemption.
I would agree.
I think it's just the genre. I mean, the controls are very similar to Grand Theft Auto 4, right. But they're cleaned up much better than Grand Theft Auto 4. You know, I mean, it's a Rockstar game, and Rockstar do some awesome games. I think it's just the fact that it's a Western that Rockstar – now, my experience with Rockstar is very limited in that I've only ever played Grand Theft Auto 4 and Red Dead Redemption. But I think a lot of people agreed that nobody really cared about Niko Bellic. He was, like, mad all the time, and,
right.
and he was a criminal. You know, whereas in John Marston, they gave us a character that we could actually identify with. So I think it's the genre of it and kind of taking that and putting it in a, I don't, I, that, yeah, there you go. Enslaved is pretty clever, but I don't know how original it really is because it seems very God of War-ish with all the hacking and the slashing and the jumping and the kicking. So I don't know. Alan Wake, yeah. Heavy Rain for certain was very original. But I didn't play any of the other ones. So, it's hard to be unbiased in this one because I liked Red Dead Redemption the best out of all the games on the list, but that's not what the award is for, if you will.
No.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They all belong there.
Yeah. I think, the list is pretty good. Unlike the next list, which I think half the community was smoking crack. That's my first comment on that list. Go ahead, Rich.
I'm just having fun with you.
Yeah, this one was best supporting character for 2010. And first up, they had Fisto the Sex Bot. No, I've not played this game. Don't know how much Chris hung around with this particular character.
There's a very brief mission where you have to go retrieve this robot from a derelict facility and you can reprogram it to be a sex bot. And it's one of the Protectron model robots. So if you played Fallout 3, you'll know what I'm talking about. But basically, if you can picture the robot that always said, "Danger, Will Robinson," in the old Lost in Space right. series, then you know what I'm talking about. And then you have the option to try it out for yourself or just take it back to whom you were supposed to retrieve it for. I chose to just take it back. I wasn't really interested in trying it out myself. So I don't know.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I would not lie to you. All right. I had an online baby with Mark Canix, so I would tell you the truth about this. Okay.
All right.
I'm not sure this one belongs on the list because it's such a very small part in the game.
I question many of these on the list. Why don't we just get through the list real quick and then.
Let's go through the list.
I certainly don't question the next one because I thought he was bloody awesome.
Right.
That's Joe Barbaro from Mafia 2. Excellent.
Right.
Guy that played him was excellent. Had a massive part in the actual game. And
he was a true supporting character.
He was. Really good. Then that's followed by Garrus out of Mass Effect 2. Which again. In my game, he didn't play as much of a role, to be honest with you.
Yeah, again...
I suppose it depends on who plays what, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mainly on how much you talk to him. You don't have to take him in your party other than to do his, you know, his loyalty quest. But if you continue to talk to all your folks in between missions, he is... he's very changed from the first Mass Effect, is what I noticed. He's a little bit more... A little bit less idealistic,
yeah.
A little bit more realistic, which I thought was good.
Yeah, and then next up was Viktor Reznov out of Black Ops. For those of you that haven't played it, this is the guy that's basically tallying along with the main character for most of the game. I thought he was pretty good. Yeah, I don't know if he's worthy of a winner against some of the others, but yeah. And then after that, you've got Joker from Mass Effect 2. I think that one was put in from Big Bad Daddy. Yeah, he's a good character.
He's
quite an interesting one as well because it's the first time I've seen in a video game somebody that's actually disabled taking a main part.
Yeah,
quite intriguing.
But again, I mean, well. Let's finish off the list and then we'll come back to it. How's that?
Okay, yeah. So you got Veronica Santangelo from Fallout New Vegas, Nigel West Dickens from Red Dead Redemption, Trip from Enslaved, and the Zombies from Plants vs. Zombies, and also, finally, just so they could chew on him in for the supporting role, Jack Marston.
Yeah, okay. So, one, Jack Marston, and the Zombies from Plants vs. Zombies, I would just look at that and say they don't belong on the list. Trip from Enslaved, I haven't played Enslaved, but I know she definitely is the supporting character to Monkey, so absolutely, you know, if the voice acting and the quality writing was there, then yeah, maybe she is a great supporting character. Chris, you probably are better suited to respond to that.
She's kind of mean to start the game.
I know she's mean to start the game. I remember that demo.
Yeah. So it's so far it's, like I said, I've spent very little time with the game, so I can't really make judgments yet. But, you know, you kind of get the idea that what's going to happen is they're going to start off fighting, and then they're eventually going to learn to be okay with each other. Yeah. You know, you kind of see that coming. But it seems a little forced up to this point, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd base your judgment on the whole of the game, because the good thing is about her as a role is she does do a massive amount of range of different things throughout that game. So there is base your judgment on the end of it. But I had a much changed opinion of her by the end of the game.
So far, I'm basing it on the scene very early in the game where she's checking out the fish tank, and she's talking about how awesome it is that the fish could survive for 200 years, and then the robot comes out of the floor and smashes the fish tank.
Yeah. Now, for me, I look at this list and, you know, characters from Fallout New Vegas, and again, I don't know, but at least my past experience with Fallout, 3 is that there aren't any true characters that really stick with you throughout the game.
There are, and the one that's mentioned here, Veronica Santangelo, she's a, so you can recruit, there's 8 different companions you can recruit that will follow you around.
She's one of them.
And each of them has kind of their own backstory, and hers is somewhat interesting.
Okay. So, I mean,
and she's also pretty good in a fight.
Yeah, I would kind of throw her in with the Nigel West Dickens. I thought he was a good character in Red Dead Redemption, but again, he's not with you supporting you, you know, the full way through in the story. He just comes in for bit pieces here and there. And again, he was good. I hate Garrus and Joker as supporting roles when I look at Martin Sheen's character as the Elusive Man, and I thought he just did a great job playing the Elusive Man and was probably one of the most consistent out of all of the different voice actors. And I just, it's surprising to me that he didn't get put onto the list. But
I saw him mentioned somewhere.
It's probably
maybe down lower in our show notes.
Probably me.
Oh, well. Yeah.
But, okay. Well, enough about that. We will find out who wins that role next week. Let's move on. Best main character, Rich, please.
Right. The obvious one is John Marsden from Red Dead Redemption. Vittorio Scaletta from Mafia 2. Subject Delta from Bioshock 2. Monkey from Enslaved. And Commander Shepard from Mass Effect 2, so there's no surprises there, really.
Yeah, none really. The only one that I don't know of really is Subject Delta, just because I never played Bioshock 2. So, I don't really have anything to say about that. Chris, did you have anything you wanted to chime in on, or should we just move on?
No, I think we can just move on.
Yeah, it was a pretty good list, I think. Community, you did
good. I do have a hard time with Shepard. Only because, and maybe this is what makes him a great character, him or her, is that Shepard is very much who you choose to be. You know, it's not like they've written in, you know, the morals. Like John Marston, the character's been written, and you're just going along on his story. Whereas Commander Shepard, you almost write it as you go.
Well, you do write it as you go, but I think one of the things that BioWare did, which was so great, is that they control how you write that story. So, you know, you give the angry reaction, but it's their version of what the angry reaction is. So, you know, you get your say in how Shepard acts and looks, but at the end of the day, he is ultimately their creation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Let's go on to best co-op.
Yeah, best co-op. You've got Halo Reach Firefight Mode, Battlefield Bad Company 2 Onslaught Mode, NHL 11, the overall game, Red Dead Redemption, Crackdown 2, Call of Duty Black Ops Zombie Mode, Monster Hunter Tri. I wonder who put that one in. Rock Band 3 and Fable 3.
You know, I mean, you look at that list, with maybe the exception of Crackdown 2 and Fable 3. And again, I haven't done a ton of co-op in Fable 3, but I have heard enough quibbles about the way the co-op worked in Fable 3 that it wasn't perfect. And I've
got a surprising one that wasn't near as well.
Yeah, and Crackdown 2 I don't think really deserves to be up there.
No.
It was a very much a broken co-op mode. But all the other modes.
Yeah. I thought Crackdown 2, I played the demo, I didn't care for it much at all, and from what I heard from everyone, it was basically just Crackdown 1.1.
Yeah, the co-op mode worked in that you could go and just wreak havoc on the city independently of one another, but the problem was, it was impossible to find one another because the map didn't display where the other characters were on the map. It was just one of those just bizarro decisions they made. But anyway,
Chris, would you have put Splinter Cell Conviction in there?
I think Splinter Cell might deserve a nod just because the different co-op modes were actually pretty good, with the exception of Last Stand. That was terrible. But the hunter mode and the co-op story, were both, the co-op story especially was really good, especially the little twist at the end where you have to go after each other after you finish it. Sorry, I just spoiled that.
One of these days I'll get around to doing that.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty good. So looking at the co-op, I definitely agree with Battlefield Bad Company Onslaught. I thought that was really well done. Red Dead Redemption co-op was awesome. And, Fable 3 I would take out. I'm leery of NHL 11 just because it's a sports game.
Well, what I can say about the NHL 11 in terms of the co-op, and really I actually probably would have given this more a nod for multiplayer than co-op. And they just refined what they did with NHL 10, which was basically creating an online league where you can grow your player and grow your skill sets and basically evolve and have a team that you can evolve with. I mean, they did a fantastic job, and it's something that I hope, quite honestly, other sports and racing games even take note of and try to do. Like, I would love to see Forza 4 have, like, a team racing, course.
FIFA does it.
Yeah, so.
FIFA does it.
FIFA. So you can compete as a community together. So we could have a gate racing team you can have a gate NHL 11 team and you go up and we all would play on the same team against other teams. So, but anyway, so in terms of co-op, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't really belong there as so much in multiplayer, but, and Monster Hunter Tri and Rock Band 3, I just assume they're good. I've heard good things about the multiplayer aspect or the co-op aspects of both those games. I've never played Rock Band 2 or 3, so I couldn't tell you.
Hmm.
All right. Let's move on then. Best multiplayer.
Yep, best multiplayer. Short and sweet. F1 2010. Battlefield Bad Company 2. Call of Duty Black Ops and NBA 2K11.
Yeah, I've heard great things about the NBA game. I can't argue with Black Ops or Bad Company 2. F1 2010, I know it's a favorite within the community at Gate. I question if that's really the best multiplayer experience, of the year. Maybe it's just the best multiplayer racing experience of the year. I am shocked and disappointed not to see Halo Reach up there, because I think it absolutely stands shoulder to shoulder with any of those games, and definitely is a worthy mention for best multiplayer. But that's really all I would probably add to that list. All right.
Yes.
Move on.
You see that pause there?
Yeah.
That's me just thinking whether I've missed out somebody putting Halo Reach. Because I've got to be honest with you.
Did you do this drunk?
I can't see. No. I can't see Knight Triple XL putting his votes in and then not putting Halo Reach down as his best multiplayer. Anyway, I'll have to revisit that.
Okay.
Because I think that might be in there. Anyway. Okay, so best single player of 2010, Fallout New Vegas, Mafia 2, Just Cause 2, Red Dead Redemption, Alan Wake, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Civilization 5, Plants vs. Zombies.
It's a pretty kind of spanning list. I mean, I can see Fallout Vegas, I can see Mafia 2, not so much Just Cause 2. Red Dead Redemption, absolutely. Alan Wake, I would definitely give a nod to. Super Mario Galaxy 2, I haven't played, so I couldn't say, but I know it's gotten glowing reviews, as well as Civilization 5. And then Plants vs. Zombies, yeah, I suppose.
I think we're missing Assassin's Creed 2 or Brotherhood from that list, but maybe that's too similar to Assassin's Creed 2 to be in there.
Yeah, I think another thing as well which it suffers from is a lot of people that I know are getting that for Christmas. It's the one game that they've put on a list that they've not been too bothered about getting straight away.
Yeah.
So you might not have enough people giving feedback on that. But anyway. But you're right. Probably should be in there.
And I also just, I commend the community for not putting Call of Duty Black Ops up there. As much as I enjoyed the single player, it certainly was not the best of the single player. No Mass Effect 2? Come on, community, what the hell?
Yeah, that is probably missing.
I'm telling you. It's shocking.
Actually, yeah, I think I put that one in there. Maybe it's because I didn't get my nominations in time. I think that one definitely belongs up there.
I did as well, but I'm sure Chinny would agree with this as well once he plays it.
Yeah, if he ever finishes Mass Effect 1.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up, Rich.
Oh, you don't need to finish 1. I didn't bother with that. I just went straight to 2. Okay, so best overall game for 2010. Drum roll, please. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. First up, F1 2010. Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 2, Call of Duty Black Ops, Fallout New Vegas, Alan Wake, and Super Mario Galaxy 2.
I don't know why F1 2010 is on there. I'm willing to admit that it might be a wonderful racing game.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time giving a racing game best overall game.
Yeah.
Just because as great as racing games are, they're very one-dimensional.
Agreed. I mean, you have a career mode. There's no real story to tell. It's the career mode basically is just prepping you for the multiplayer aspect of the game. And as good as it may be, I have a very difficult time seeing that being the game of the year. Can't argue at all with Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 2. Blops, I think the multiplayer is such a standout for so many people that it's probably why it's getting the big nod. But I think from a complete overall package, just in terms of just greatness, I don't know that it really deserves to be up there. And I say the same with Fallout New Vegas. I don't know that it stands itself out enough from what I've heard. And Chris, you're a much better judge of this than I am, to be really given a nod for Game of the Year. And again,
yeah,
we're missing Assassin's Creed 2. You know, I so many of you guys have raved about that game that it's surprising to me that it's not there.
Hold on, 2 was 2009.
Brotherhood. Sorry, Brotherhood. Brotherhood. My yeah. bad.
Greg mentioned
yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
And Alan.
Again, I think that suffers from the voting. I think because of its lateness and so.
No, agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's late to the it's late to the table. As you mentioned already, a lot of people are getting it for Crimbo, so they haven't even played it yet.
Yeah, you know, and I look at Alan Wake, and it was a fantastic game, but I have a hard time saying Game of the Year for that.
I'd say Game of the Year.
Yeah, and then Super Mario Galaxy 2, it's just, I mean, I have no comment on it, so I couldn't say. But,
I'd say it's very, very good, and it's just a shame that you wouldn't, I know Steve Conger's going to bash me over the head with a mallet for it. But the Wii, as much as I really, really enjoyed that game, and it was so inventive in its style of play and so on, and it's not just a visual thing, but there's so many other platforms that can do things like that so much better.
Yeah.
But Steve would, his counter-argument would be, but yeah, they haven't done it yet. And I'd be tempted to agree with him, but if you look at something like Ilo Milo, it took like just a chunk of what was in Super Mario Galaxy and made it look so much better. So yeah, but I don't think I'd put it up as game best overall game for the year.
Huh?
And I would counter argue that Alan Wake was an absolutely excellent game. The sound structure in that game, the scoring of it, the story, that was my experience on the console for the year. So my two penneth is in.
All right, well, we'll just have to wrestle later. All right.
Ooh, yes, please.
So that does it. Those are the nominees. We will be debating this internally as the week goes on, and certainly tabulating votes from the community as well as our votes. And like I said, we will do the Game of the Year show next week. So definitely come back, stay in touch, and listen. And with that said and done, you know, Mike Chin's not here, which, you know, we're missing Grandma, you know, but amazingly enough, during the show break, Grandma came over to the house. She's here. She's sitting here. She's ready to play some music for us. And, we'll just fire up the old, the music, station here. Grandma, come on. All right, here we go. Alrighty, new releases, there's not a lot, but we'll get through it real quick. On the Wii, we've got Frobot and Inkcube, or Inkcube, whatever you want to call it, on the WiiWare. It's the only thing coming out. Other than on the Virtual Console, you've got Mario Party 2. 3 games for the whole week. There are some Guitar Hero and Rock Band updates, but that is it. Moving on to the PS3. No retail games this week, but a bunch of PSN games. Both the PSN as well as the Xbox Live Arcade are offering up all kinds of sales. So you definitely want to jump in and get it while you can. And sorry if the music was a little loud there. Grandma was being a little overzealous. But on the PS3 PSN side, you've got Alpha Mission 2, Art of Fighting, Baseball Stars Professional, Blockus, Borderlands, Buzz Quiz Player, Eat Them, Echo Chrome 2, Fatal Fury, League Bowling, Mag, Magician Lord, Metal Slug, Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones HD, Risk Factions, Samurai Showdown, Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People Season Pass, Super Sidekicks, The King of Fighters 94, Top Dogs, and it goes on. Front Missions 3, A Space Shooter for $2, Dr. Minigames, Forest Puzzle, Jane's Hotel, Nova. Of course, the last few are minigames, but they're all out there, PSN front. On the DLC side, Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam comes out today for the PSN as well as the Xbox Live Arcade. Moving over to the Xbox 360, and no, I'm not going to kick Grandma again and start it back up. It's just too tiring. A World of Keflings comes out this week. So if you liked your Keflings, it's back. And that's going to be going for $10, sorry. And on the DLC front, Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam, Deal of the Week, Forza Car Packs for all my Forza brethren. A bunch of car packs for basically 200 points. Well worth taking a look at if you haven't got any of them already. Also, one notable demo that I believe is out on both PSN as well as the 360. It is the Dead Space 2 demo came out, and it's the single-player demo. So go check it out if you are interested. And last but not least, Games on Demand, Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, and Red Dead Redemption are out on Games on Demand. And those are the new releases. So, yeah, I'm a little winded. Jeez Louise. We do have one email this week. And so, because of that, I really do have to play this little soundbite. Start. All right. Email this week. Rich. We do have one email from Mr. Marcanix.
Yes, we do. We've had one through from Marcanix. Yeah, I know we did put on the forum a little bit of a quiz, but we've ran a lot today talking about nominations and so on, so we'll do that ourselves another week. Yeah, so we've got one in from Mark Wright, Marcanix, and he says, "Hello, OC crew. Wow, what a weekend. Murph tore up the racetrack for the Forza Mazda MX-5 Championship and pwned us noobs. Well done, Greg. Excellent result for you. Shame the other half of the team OC wasn't there to bask in our victory. Ha 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 ha. Mind you, I can't rib Rich too much as I slept in two and missed the first race. Dolt. I'm really looking forward to the Christmas break, and I hope to get loads of time gaming. My gaming time has been fairly limited recently, so I'm so happy that I've finished Christmas Eve morning and don't go back till the 4th of Jan. I'm 99% sure I'm getting Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Somebody's been searching in the wardrobes as Prezzies this year, so can't wait. I also need to build on my very slim lead over CP on the Gamerscore front. Comments from you, Chris, because you wasn't here last week to address that."
Oh, did he overtake me on the Gamerscore?
He has done, and he's been raving about it.
He called you a Nancy Pants as well, he said.
Good for him.
There's no riling, Chris.
As I said, my days of achievement whoring are behind me. I do love to get achievements. I won't lie to you about that, but I just do not have the time to chase them, as I did previously. So, well done, Marcanix, and, enjoy it.
Message to myself, pipe and slippers for Chris for Christmas. Okay. Moving on, I also plan to try and get more into Gran Turismo next week. I have made a start on it, but I'm finding it very slow starter. The initial races are like watching paint dry, and all the vehicles you initially use can't pull the skin off a rice pudding. They are more suited to Chinny's grandma nipping around to the post office to collect her pension than racing around the track.
Let's back up a second. Marcanix can gloat all he wants about being ahead of me in achievements, but he's obviously been playing some pretty easy games because I'm still ahead of him on true achievements. So, by about 8,000. So, get ahead of me on true achievements, Marcanix, and then you will talk.
Okay.
I was just checking that the other day. I was like, Marcanix is catching up with me, but he's not quite got there yet. Anyway.
Is this like true skill ranking, but for Cheeto whores?
You've never seen the True Achievements website, Rich.
No, Chris, have you ever seen my Gamerscore?
Well, this is this is the shameless plug for a pseudo competitor website. What's cool about the True Achievements is what they do is they take the achievements and by figuring out what percentage of the membership has a given achievement, they assign it a ratio. And then it is worth more points based on that. So
the harder and rarer the achievement, instance, the more points it's worth. Right.
The more it's worth. Like the leaderboard achievements from the first Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter game are worth huge amounts of points because only like 10 right. people have them.
But the 1,000 gamer so score for people, Madden NFL 2006 is worth
nothing. Yeah. So, it's a pretty clever website. Plus, they've got helpful hints on how to get achievements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you haven't seen it yet, check it out. TrueAchievements.com.
Back to the email.
Okay. Yes, so he was saying about the cars and the tracks not being too hot to start off with. The worst so far was the vintage VW camper vans on the Top Gear test track. The race was like pulling teeth. I also find the lack of damage and the same dull thud of every impact very annoying. However, there were some good parts. I enjoyed the kart racing. And I just know that it will get better. So if I want to invest more time, he wants to invest more time to give up on it. Oh, and I like Murphy mentioned last week, it's really annoying trying to buy the cars to compete in the races. What is the point of that PD? What's that?
Yeah. So explain? Basically, what he's saying is that in certain races, it'll tell you you need to have the Japanese, 300Z, 1970 or earlier version to do this race. And the only place you can buy that mm-hmm. is in the used car lot. The problem is in the used car lot, they randomly put cars in there. And so that pre-1970s, Z car may not show up for turns and turns and turns. And so it only changes every time you complete another race. So if it's not there when you first look, you can't compete in that race. You have to wait until that car becomes available, and you just don't know when that's going to be. So that is annoying, and it's a stupid idea that Polyphony Digital did, and definitely a big black mark in terms of just the friendliness of getting into the game. It makes for a frustrating experience at times. And I will say one more thing, and this is going back to his comments about the VW camper vans, the racing on the Top Gear track. While, I'm sure it was kind of a funny thing, we can race VW vans. Out of those 200 premium cars, your VW camper bus is one of the 200 premium cars. Please explain to me what is so exciting about a VW bus that you would have thought it should be a premium car.
You ask the surf dudes that are pulling the hot chicks in the back of it.
This band's rocking, don't knock it.
All right, finish out his email, please.
Yeah, so he just said, he went on and says, at least with Forza, all the cars are available to buy from the start, if you have the credits, that is. I wish you three fine gentlemen, all the members of Gate, and all your listeners a very Merry Christmas from Mark.
Well, thank you, Mark. That was a lovely email. We appreciate it. And, I guess we can kind of wrap things up. And we'll before we get into the community play dates, I will say if you want to send us an email, like Mark did, we encourage it. We would love to hear from members of the Gate community. You don't have to talk about anything other than what you've been playing if you want, or if you want to address a specific question that we've asked, or if you want to give us a question of your own. You simply send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com, and that's ocpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. I believe, was it David the Alien, or was it somebody had sent...
David the Alien.
David the Alien. Well, David, I'm not sure. There was somebody I believe you sent me a message saying he had sent us an email, but I never saw it. So my guess is...
That wasn't David the Alien. That was Quandrian.
My apologies, Quandrian. Quandrian the Alien. My guess is he did not send it to ocpodcast@gmail.com. He probably sent it maybe to our old email address and or some random email address he made up. But clearly it was not ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Greg, he was very specific, and I was tagging fools in blobs whilst he was telling me he did send it to the new email address. So Quamrian, if you're out there, I will plead with you, please forward that email to us again, and we will give it our full attention.
We will indeed give it our full attention, because we certainly did not mean to not read that email, but we just never got it. Literally never saw it. We have female members of the Gate community, and I know you can write, and hopefully you listen to the show. Write in an email. We would love to hear from some of the female members of the Gate community, because certainly it is a very well-rounded community. While maybe a little male heavy, we do have our share of females here. So we encourage you to write in. We'll actually give your emails much more respect than we do the other members of the community. That said, Chris, we've got some playdate information to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Not a whole lot going on this week because it's the week of the Christmas holiday. So no Friday night races this week. But going on right now is the Forza 3 Hot Lap Challenge, details of which are on the website. And you could win for your very own a copy of Gran Turismo 5,
yep.
Courtesy of Hawksun.
Yes.
He has very generously arranged for the prize package. So check out the website. Look up Forza 3 Christmas Special Hot Lap Challenge and get log in some laps.
Yep.
And birthdays. Birthdays. Happy birthday to T-Spell 202, who turns the big 4-0. He's almost as old as Greg.
Hey.
Big Bad Daddy, who is finally legal for drinking in the United States. And Jack Chaos Burton, who is going to be 46. Again, not quite as old as Greg, but happy birthday anyhow.
25? You got to be 25 to drink.
No.
I was 21.
It's be 21, but I'm just...
Oh, just making Big Bad Daddy a little younger than he actually is.
Just giving him some grief.
No, but yes, big happy birthdays to all three of you, and Rich, certainly... congratulations on getting that insurance break. I don't know if it's the same in the UK as it is out here, but when you turn 25 in the US, you get a nice break on your insurance for your car. So hopefully you are enjoying that. And, So closing notes. Mr. Skull, why don't you take the lead here? Shout out, anything you want to say?
I'd like to shout out the rabid Scotsman for putting up with my drunken ramblings via Skype text on my mobile phone on Thursday whilst he was trying to host the very last Gamesman Extra. Apologies for that, Scott. I did listen back to it, and half of the things I can't remember typing, but thank you very much for bearing with me, and I look forward to hearing you guys in your new venture, and also I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everybody, and be safe out there. There's lots of things that you can get into trouble over the next couple of days doing. We're all going to finish work, we're all going to be a bit heady in our ways, but yes, all of the community and everything, have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll see you online.
Nice. Chris, why don't you go next?
Just Merry Christmas to the two of you. We'll see you again after the holiday, and to Mike and Rich, whenever they do choose to grace us again with their presence. And a special mention to my dad. He doesn't listen to this show, but he was supposed to start a road trip yesterday morning to come up here and meet his grandson, and is still not left his house because he has my younger sister and brother, and they have challenges. A patient, patient man, and we'll see you when you get here.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's all I got.
A big Merry Christmas and happy, well, not Happy New Year quite yet, but happy holidays to certainly the both of you, and well, of course, Big Bad Daddy and Mr. Chin Chinny. And, of course, the Gate community. Merry Christmas to everybody and happy holidays to those that maybe aren't celebrating Christmas per se. And just a reminder that if you like this show, and there's no reason why you shouldn't, of course, we would love for you to drop by iTunes or the Zune social podcast area and drop a review in for us. We would love 5 stars, but we won't beg for them. We'll take a 4 if we have to. But yeah, we will of course read those off, and we'll go back and take a look, because I believe we have a couple new entries. We just didn't get around to it today, but fear not, we will read any new entries on the iTunes and Zune reviews, and we do appreciate it ever so much. And of course, VGHub.net.
Could I just put a shout out as well? Could any Warhammer fans that want to put any reviews on iTunes, could you just put them on iTunes? Because I know you love the OC podcast, okay?
Okay.
Right. That's it.
Interesting shout out. Thanks, Rich. VGHub.net. Like I said, if you like this podcast, there's other things and other podcasts, more importantly, that are similar in nature that are all kind of listed right there for your choosing. So VGHub.net, you can find the Veteran Gamers, you can find the Gamesmen, of course you can find links to the Gate community from there, as well as from our home site, the OverseasConnection.net. And we very much appreciate your time, and we love the feedback and want more. So by all means, feel free, Zune reviews, iTunes reviews, emails, any which way, Twitter, Rich, what's the Twitter?
Twitter is OC_podcast at the front.
And it is important to get that at the front, because if you don't put the at the front, it's pretty much going to go unnoticed.
Yes, and I always bloody forget to say that.
Yeah, it is at. So, good. Well, that does it for the show. I do want to leave you with one comment, and this one I found particularly funny. And this was actually from one of our British brethren. It was Sir William Preece. He was a chief engineer of the British Post Office. Now, granted, this is back in 1878, so quite a ways back, but he had some important insight for the British telecom needs. He said, "The Americans have need of the telephone, but we do not. We have plenty of messenger boys." Oh, and on that note, we're done. Have a Merry Christmas.
Shout out to Suit Dragon Dan. Come and rescue me from my tree. I forgot to mention you. Love you all. Bye.
See you later. I'd like to get the actual carnage on audio.
You might not want to witness it when he pulls my Apple wireless adapter off the desk and breaks it.
What the hell's that?
Oh, the TV. My bad. I forgot to mute it. My bad.
Why are we being cheered?
That's because everyone's happy to hear from us.
Other than TV. TV and video games, we can control. Dogs, babies, not so much. Wives, never.
If you're going to hang out with us, you've got to learn about American football.
Therefore, give me ESPN on my fucking Xbox and I'll oblige you.
ESPN.com, Rich.
Yeah, only available to U.S. subscribers.
But it is available on the internet.
But you can't watch it necessarily, but you can certainly read about it.
Well, that's not fun, is it?
I know. British people don't read.
Have you ever actually attended an American football game?
No, I've been to a baseball game. I played baseball at a U.S. Air Force base.
Really?
Yeah.
You must have been like, wow, this is so much faster than cricket.
Yeah, damn right. And they throw properly.
They do throw properly.
None of that sidearm shit.
None of that sidearm crap or bouncing it on the ground. That's nonsense. Yeah, man.
None of that bowling.
And on just a completely unrelated note to hydrophobia, and I forgot, I wanted to make sure I mentioned this, but another little tidbit of news dropped, and there's another game that's going to be coming out, and as soon as I start talking about this, of course, I forget. Hang on. let's talk Game of the Year nominees. So we're not announcing anything this week, other than what we want to go through is we're going to run through each category, and Rich, you'll basically, you know, let us know who are the contenders for each category. We're going to basically kind of debate it out, in terms of what, you know, how we feel and see in terms of these categories, if there's worthy, you know, worthy games that are actually being listed up. But this is all based on the community feedback, so it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. We will announce the winners next week in our Game of the Year show. And on that note, we'll hold off on the Game of the Year conversation. We'll take a break now instead.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
See you in a bit. Bye. Love you all.
Hold on. I'm going to do some major editing here, so I'm going to say we're going to move on now to the show break. So hang on.
You just said it.
No, I'm going to say it officially because I'm going to edit out the other part.
I'd use the other part.
I know you would.